Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this fall, man, it's very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I don't really think I made a decision until probably a few days ago. There's a multitude of reasons why I wasn't comfortable. Still not excited about it, not thrilled. You know, what we're fighting for against racism and social injustice and equality. Obviously, the virus is still very well and alive and continues to rise in Florida.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You want to have great players around you. You don't want to be a guy that takes up all the money and then all of a sudden you're having to find different guys that will take cheaper deals. Because, I mean, you want to those guys need to be rewarded as well. It's not about one person. And I truly believe that. I know the situation that I was brought into and how good of a situation it was.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this beautiful happy hump day.
Hump day!
What is happening? I should have worn my sheep ranch hat. We could have been matching today.
Yeah.
We should have all three worn it, man. Could have been the three amigos.
Well, I don't have very much golf gear, like hats, shirts, etc.
Yeah, you're starting to build it up a little bit.
But this is kind of one of my two or three go-to hats, and I thought, well, there's a good chance all three of us have this hat today.
There's got to be at least, what, a 35% chance that's going to happen one of these days?
Yeah, I'm sure
we'll wear the same thing in.
I'm sure. Well, we've already had a day like that where we've wore this hat, and everybody probably just looks at us like we're idiots.
God, what the hell is wrong with those guys?
I don't know.
At least it's nice out today, huh? We're doing good on a Wednesday.
We are doing good on a Wednesday. I had a weird start.
Okay, you got a weird start to the day?
Dude, so I got up. I usually get up. I try to aim for like 5:20, 5:30-ish.
Yeah, early riser.
Right. Get up. I like to just go run. I think the weather's perfect. Nobody's out. It's awesome.
Nice and cool.
I get my gear. I'm ready to go. I step out my garage door, and I look in the middle, and there's something weird that wasn't there the day before.
Uh-huh.
I turn the light on.
What's going on here?
And I'm like, is that a stuffed animal? It turned and ran. My garage door is closed.
Okay, now, okay, where did it, run to a corner of the garage, or it run like into the house?
No. So where I'm at is the door. And then imagine you're in a door and you're looking in front of you. You see your garage door.
Sure.
To my right wall is my shelving. I have two shelving things for storage.
It went to a hiding spot.
Yeah, it went right there. And I was like, well, I got home late. Maybe I'm not fully awake. That was weird. It didn't look like a rat.
It was a little bit bigger than a rat.
No, it was as long as like a squirrel from head to toe.
Ah.
But it was tiny, slender, like slim, furry looking
thing.
I bet
you had a young possum, a baby possum.
Are you got a ferret problem?
So then it comes through these two like chairs we have, like outdoor chairs. We have them stacked in our garage. Its head is peeking through and it's looking at me. And I'm like, what is this thing?
Is it going to attack me right
now?
Got
a feral cat on the loose?
So I like snap my finger. I'm like, yeah. And I didn't do anything. And then I finally like, I put my foot forward and I was like, and it ducked back in. So it's still in my garage.
Now, can I stop you for a moment here?
Yeah.
Why would you not have opened the garage door?
That's a great question.
Because you'd think open garage door, you go towards said animal and it would run out of the garage.
It's a very good question.
You have it entrapped in the garage. I don't know where you're expecting it to go.
The only defense I have for you is it's 5:45 in the morning and you're not quite all there yet.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking, right? It's like, well, maybe, you know, I think I went to bed at like 1 last night. It didn't get much sleep. I'll answer your question two parts. One, I'll say where I'm at and where I'm seeing this creature. It's probably 35 feet away. So to us, it doesn't seem very far. To him or her, that door is not as close as you think.
Yeah, humble brag. You got a big garage there, buddy.
I have a 2-car garage.
Look at you.
So I run upstairs to the wife. The wife is totally into like wild animals. We have a snail in my house right now.
You could send her down to go catch it.
No, but
got
I'm like,
a bag, honey.
I'm like, into elephants.
This thing looks really different than anything I've seen before. So I say, hey, come down. I think I'm going crazy, but I'm not sure. So she comes down. We're looking for like 10 minutes. This thing is nowhere. No sound, nothing. We finally get a flashlight, and its little head is peeking out. And I told her, I'm like, I don't think this is a rat. Like, it didn't have a rat tail. And I don't know what the hell it is. And she finally sees the head, and it looks like a rat. She's like, that's a rat. All of a sudden, you see part of the body. She goes, oh, no, that's not a rat.
That's not a rat.
So we're playing this, like, cat and mouse game, right? Like, I'm grabbing a broom. I'm sweeping it behind. I'm trying to just bang stuff to scare it. The garage door is open at this point,
yeah, there's an escape route there if he needs it.
Well, I finally get this stick that reaches down on the floor level, and it gets behind my storage shelf. And I go back there, and I hear a... I mean,
I'm out.
Yeah, a prominent like screech. I go again, and now it's making like a bird, like squawk of some sort. It's like
got a weasel in there.
I Googled it. It was a damn weasel.
There you
had
go.
A weasel in your I've garage. I've never seen a weasel in my life. I had no idea where
really what a weasel looks like.
They look like ferrets.
Just so like a long.
They're tiny looking ferrets.
They do. That's cute, man.
Dude, it's cute. Yeah. And
that's
then
a cute little animal. Did you keep it? Name it. What's his name?
Well, they kill snakes. So
they kill mice, birds, snakes.
Yeah. Hell yeah! Let that thing run around the garage.
Okay to keep around.
So one,
I'm just buying a weasel today.
An old. Is it wives? Is it wives'
dude,
tail?
These things are awesome looking.
Sorry, that was a drop. I gotta go back and get that.
Is it wives' tail? Like wife?
Old wives' tail?
Is that what it is?
About what?
I could never tell if it was wives' tail or
no,
wives' tail. Okay,
wives.
So it's gossip.
An old wives' tail.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the show of idiots. So I read.
Drop.
I read. An,
you guys are golden today.
I read an old wives' tale on the internet that said, if you have a weasel in or near your house, they actually used to consider it good luck, because if a weasel is living near your house, it basically means it's doing a good job of finding the mice and bird problem around your
taking
areas.
Care of those issues for you. I think you're about to break 90 today on the course.
But then I read another story that said if it sees a cat or dog and the cat or dog attacks and does not get it, it will climb on the back of the animal and bite it on its spine and kill it.
Whoa.
These are severe predators, is
that
what it was said.
Escalated quickly.
There was also a story about a lady who trapped it in the proper, like, vermin trap. And guess what? It got out and attacked her. And she had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, they're not. They're nasty little creatures.
Yeah, if you would have heard the noise this thing was making.
Dude. Interesting.
Like,
I mean, it looks like it's barely bigger than a...
It's tiny.
Like a rat.
Yeah. No,
it's just a little bit longer, maybe, and a head that pops up a little bit.
It's longer than a rat, but it's smaller than a rat. It's not wide. It's not very tall.
Did you tell the kids?
So the kids are dead asleep. I felt bad. The oldest would have loved this. The youngest would have gotten scared and wanted nothing to do with this.
Play the sounds for her.
So finally, we read up on some more stuff. I'm in my garage now. This is an hour. I'm an hour in. I can no longer run. The wife has to get up and go to work.
It's a good start to the day.
The run is shot, right? I'm like, well, I'm golfing anyway. So we're an hour in. The wife finds a thing that says farmers will use sprinkler systems to keep them out. They hate when water hits them in the face and they won't disturb you. So she grabs a spray bottle. We start spraying this damn thing. I'm like,
get out.
And all you hear is it runs near my cat's litter box, which is by the garage door. So at this point, we're like, all right, it's going to see the doors open. Yeah. It's free. We're on the opposite side of that. We're encouraging it to go out.
The premises.
This damn thing still didn't want to leave.
It's laid claim to your house, man. You guys are going to die tonight in your sleep.
Dude, I finally got, I saw a shot. I sprayed him right in the face with the water bottle.
Oh, he's going to remember your face, too.
It hissed.
Oh, no.
And finally it ran out.
You were doomed.
An hour and 20 minutes of getting a weasel out of my garage. I couldn't believe it.
This thing's going to climb into your bed tonight.
What kind of start is this Wednesday?
He's going to crawl up your leg.
But I'm nervous now because he got in. There's a hole between the rail and the door padding.
Oh, you were screwed.
Of my garage door. And he could easily fit under there anytime he wants.
He went and found some of his weasel friends. They're plotting right now. They remember the look on your face when you sprayed him with the hose.
Dude, I know. I'm worried about this.
Right. I would be terrified.
Well,
I
have to. My dad's favorite children's book he read to us when we were still sitting on his lap. The book was called Never Tease a Weasel.
Never Tease a Weasel.
Yeah, because teasing isn't nice.
Damn.
You'd have to find that for the girls.
Sounds like a
sounds like a sex reference,
yeah,
but
that's a children's book.
I mean, don't tease the weasel, all right?
Does your unit hiss?
Do the weasel balls turn blue if you do that?
Have you guys ever seen a weasel? Honestly?
No, I never have.
Up live and in person. I've seen porcupines.
Yeah, me too. I've seen possums, raccoons.
I was on my walk yesterday and I was coming down the sidewalk on Cornell.
Yeah.
There's a big old box turtle sitting there. I'm like,
wait, what?
A turtle on the sidewalk on Cornell?
Like somebody was giving it away.
Somebody
for
got
free?
Yes.
Somebody got out of his cage, I think. Now there's a big pond.
Just roaming around the neighborhood.
You're right. There is a
out
pond
out there, but
kind of by the Krispy Kreme.
A little further down, closer to the old Chicago's there.
Yeah, I'm wondering picking him up, taking him home.
Well, I thought about it for a second. I'm like,
come on, Snapper, let's go.
I don't know if he's got the COVID.
Turtle COVID?
Turtles carry COVID?
I don't know. Where's Fauci? What's the deal with turtles?
We are so screwed.
Oh, man.
Somebody said you're going to get home today and your house is going to be surrounded by weasels. That's so true.
I have a cat and a dog.
This is terrifying. Like I've heard crows are the same way, aren't they?
Pets, I just worry about keeping it out of the house, but you've got pets.
But my cat, here's the thing. My cat came out 10 minutes after I did. Didn't smell or think anything was in the garage.
Cool J is useless.
Cool J is a good protective
cat. I'm not
cat.
Buying that. You got a weasel in your garage and it can't even sniff it.
Or Cool J also kills birds and he respects what the weasel is.
You should have taken a BB gun out and just taken target practice at it in the garage.
I probably shouldn't say this publicly. I don't own a weapon.
Oh, okay.
So
go rob Sprague's house.
You get in my house, you're getting a baseball bat to the face.
Yeah, you might find like some nunchucks or something
I have a college baseball bat. I'm ready to go, baby.
A little instant action.
Yeah, I have one of those situations going.
Dina Marini.
All right. Well, it's a interesting start to my Wednesday, but it's going to be a good show.
You got a good little weasel problem going for you.
I'm feeling it. It's good luck. Let's find out what's on tap.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap? Brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Elliot Shore Parks is going to join us today on the Daily Ticker. He works for WIP Sports Radio in Philly. He covers the Eagles for them, does an Eagles podcast. He's also one of our radio.com NFL insiders. So he'll hop on today at 12:30. We'll talk the DeSean Jackson Hitler comment, which is getting weirder by the minute. About an hour ago, Steven Jackson was caught on a recording basically defending DeSean Jackson's Hitler comment and then suggesting that Jewish people are trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
It's a very weird story.
Didn't see defending Hitler popping up in the 2020 cycle.
Yeah, they're trying to defend the fake Hitler quote by also saying screw Hitler. And look, I'm going to say this. I don't think DeSean or Steven Jackson know what Hitler did.
No, I heard Rob bring that up yesterday, and I agree with him that there's a lack of understanding, I think, of world history. Because there's no other explanation that makes sense.
They're older than me. How does that happen?
Let me introduce you to the American education system.
Well, that's been on full display now for about 5 to 6 months. The fact that wearing a mask is politicized speaks for itself. So you're probably right there. So we'll talk about that today. I also have a coffee stand story.
Okay.
What if a friend of yours went to where your daughter works in a bikini coffee stand. And you commented, thanks for supporting my daughter. And then your friend responded, always got to support the fam.
Not cool, bro. Not cool.
Not cool.
This is a story that's too good to be true.
That's not cool.
Dirt found a quite disgusting story.
I got one about poo stains and bed sheets.
Yeah. There's a gentleman who hung out with a chick and he left his mark. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Pretty good tease.
Also a good read. This is probably something we'll get to coming up in just a minute. Oregon has an outside chance. 24/7 has an article on recruiting. Oregon's got an outside chance to be number one in recruiting in the country this year. That's insane to me. It's one thing to be like top 10, 7, 8. That's cool in itself. To be number one would be absolutely legendary. We'll get to this story. Got a few different references for it. How confident are you in any of the leagues? Like, have you put, as a sports fan, have you put all of your, have you invested in thinking sports is absolutely returning 100% with all the leagues? So we'll get to that. Let's see. We got Statter story to get to today. We got a busy, busy show. We will start with the Oregon recruiting story.
Okay.
Because I think it's pretty important and it's pretty key to what they're doing. Oregon has an outside chance to be the number one recruiting program in the country. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. All right. Welcome back in. It's 1219 on Portland Sports Leader. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Wednesday. I'm going to read an article from 24/7 Sports. Breaking down the recruiting classes or the recruiting class battle of 2021. Mm-hmm. I think I said last segment this year's, I meant 2021. Ohio State has a lead right now, but the Big Ten power remains vulnerable to the same programs moving forward in Clemson, LSU, Georgia, and Alabama.
Yeah, same teams every year that are in the mix.
But perhaps it's time to add a new contender into the mix. Welcome to the race for number one, Oregon. Mario Cristobal's Ducks have finished atop the Pac-12 standings the last two cycles and sit there once again at number five nationally in 24/7 Sports composite team rankings in recruiting. They have the firepower left on board to cross the finish line first, but it will take some magic on the trail and landing the likes of five-star defensive lineman Corey Foreman and JT Tuimoloa to pull it off. The numbers one and two overall prospects in the country. Keep in touch with Oregon, but continue to trend elsewhere on the 24/7 Sports crystal ball. They did pick up a recent, four-star wide receiver commit.
This past weekend.
Over the weekend, they continued to pick up more and more of these. And, you know, you read this article, and we'll tweet it out with our show page if you're interested to dive into it. I know we talk about crystal ball and Oregon's ability to have, like, a top 10 recruiting class, and, oh, they just got another four- or five-star kid. I mean, to be in a position where Oregon could be number one in the entire country in college football recruiting, it almost leaves you speechless to a certain degree.
It's huge. Now, it should be noted, as you pointed out there in the article states, it's a long shot for them to get to number one. It's a pretty big jump. Now, they're flirting in top five territory. I think this last signing put them into the top five in the country, the one they had this last weekend. And there's a couple other players that are in the four-star kind of caliber ranking that should keep them around the top five towards signing day this year. The big ones will be the top two players in the country. Corey Foreman is the number one player in the country, and I think he's announcing his top six or seven in the coming days. I thought I saw a tweet from him here just recently, but not a lot of people are predicting him to Oregon at this point. Now, things can change because I'm not sure how many people, for example, predicted Justin Flo to Oregon at this point in the process or Kayvon Thibodeau to Oregon at this point in the process 2 years ago. So things can change with those guys. It's still an incredible reality to continue to top what you're doing year in and year out. And it just leaves you really optimistic about the direction of the program. When in year one, he's, you know, roughly top 10, sets a program record for the best recruiting class. Last year, ups it to number seven, in the country, which was a record breaker again for the program. And now you're looking at potentially a top five class, again breaking that record. And it's all building in the right direction. And as an Oregon fan who is very concerned about what this upcoming college football season is going to look like, and it's somewhat depressing because I think Oregon has a really talented roster and a chance to have a special season this year. And maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's fall, maybe it's spring, but at least there's that silver lining kind of at the end of the tunnel that at some point we're going to get through this. At some point, sports will be back to a normal part of our daily lives, and Oregon football will be playing in front of a packed Autzen Stadium. And when that happens, whether it's this year or next year, you're going to have some incredibly talented players coming in. And it just, it tells you the sky's the limit for what he's building down there.
Are we, and by the we, I mean Oregon fan. Is Oregon fan nervous about this in the sense of if this guy can have like a top three recruiting class, right? Let's say, because you mentioned it, they need some things to fall into their lap a little bit. Well, not fall in lap. They need to go out there and earn it. But
yeah, if they get one of those top two guys, they'll have a chance at the number one class. But if they miss on those two guys, they won't. Because they'll probably end up at one of those schools that are in the mix.
Yeah, but he's won the conference now. He won the Rose Bowl. You're looking at a top five recruiting class potentially. I'm not one, particularly my opinion is, I don't think he leaves Oregon unless it's for an Alabama or a Miami job. And I don't think I still think those are years away. Is it make you nervous with this kind of stuff? Or do you think he is in a position and the program's in a position where they have solidified themselves to be just as good a job as any other program in the country?
That's the part of it that doesn't make me as nervous. Now, I think every fan base is nervous to a certain extent outside of like Alabama and Clemson, maybe. Like, what programs in the country are you not going to lose a coach? It's a very, very limited number.
I think Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and probably Florida. And then USC is, well, Clay Helton would hold on to that job forever. Sure. But I think there's like four to six programs.
But that's also not counting.
Country.
Sure, and that's also not counting NFL opportunities that might come up, right? So there's always that fear, I think, in the back of every fan base's mind. The part of it, though, that's a game changer in this circumstance is his ability to recruit. And we've talked about this many times, that there used to be this stereotype, you can't recruit to Eugene. You just can't do it. You got cool uniforms, you got nice facilities, but that's only going to take you so far. And you're probably limited as a top 15 recruiter in the country, which is good. And it's going to give you a chance to compete, but it's not going to be in the top level with Clemson and Alabama, LSU, Texas, and Ohio State. If he's able to recruit this way annually and continue to bring this caliber of player into Eugene, where's the need to leave?
Yeah, what program really stands out that says, oh, I have to go there to take the next step? If you're recruiting top five, you're winning your conference, and you're winning the Rose Bowl.
And I'd also argue you have an easier path winning the Pac-12 than you do going to Alabama and having to face LSU and Auburn and all Georgia every single year.
Well, and I'm trying to, I think I have this right, but if I'm misremembering, just correct me here. I mean, you're a loss away. You're a win away, I should say, against ASU from...
Or Auburn.
Well, yeah, Auburn, yeah, because it came down to the wire there.
They were a two-loss team last year, yeah.
But ASU was a game I think a lot of people thought Oregon would win.
Oh, for sure.
And ASU ended up getting the best of them. I mean, yeah. You're that win away from being in the thick of the playoff conversation. And I think going back, as I remember it now, I would have picked them to make that playoff spot instead of Oklahoma. Because I think they're
they would have been in, especially with the
schedule.
Way they beat Utah. I think they would have been in. Now they would have been dismantled by LSU because everybody was dismantled by LSU last year.
But you would have been in the playoff.
But you would have been in the playoff,
important. Yeah,
without a trip up late in the season.
Yeah.
So it's a good reminder to have. And now it's on him. And again, it's kind of a weird situation because we don't know what this upcoming season is going to look like. So it's hard to build on momentum in terms of on-field success, just not knowing if it's going to happen or not happen, delayed, shortened season. Like, we just don't know what that picture is going to look like. This is what he can take care of in the short term, and it's continuing to stockpile really talented players to bring into your program. It's going to add to your depth, and not only do you need to add extra pieces, but you think about the number of guys that came back for another year and the number of guys that are leaving for the NFL, whether there's a season or not next year. Like, Penei Sewell is going to be gone. He's the best player in the country. Those corners and the defensive guys that came back for another year, they're all going to be gone. You're going to be plugging a lot of holes, and they're going to have a lot of guys to choose from to do it.
I mean, if you're having guys leave after two to or 3 years, I mean, that speaks volumes, yeah. I think, about your program. It sucks to have to have that kind of replacement situation, but I think if your program's in that spot...
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have, and it also just it helps increase your depth. I mean, you can go recruit, and your depth can be 3-4-star kids. Your starters are 4-5-star type players. That's what takes you to another level. Now, I know they still have... a playoff. They still have to prove it. They still have to go win another conference title. I think for some people listening right now to fully buy into Crystal Ball, but
without a doubt,
the recruiting element of him mixed in with the staff that he's assembled, mixed in with, as you mentioned, kind of an easier road in a certain regard. Now, we don't know about the quarterback. That's obviously a big important part, but it's not like the Pac-12 is sitting here churning out 3-4 teams to contend for a playoff spot.
No, we're not quite there yet as a conference.
Like, at best this year, I think most people think there's only one. Maybe two as ASU or USC as a dark horse.
Yeah, maybe Washington if they get the offensive play they need.
Maybe. There's a prove-it factor, I think, for Jimmy Lake. Plus, even with Peterson, they couldn't win the big one.
Well, I think the exciting part is ultimately when you get into the bigger games in the years to come, and you're playing a lot of those in non-conference because you look, Ohio State, who knows if that happens, but you get them the year after that. You got a game against Georgia coming up. Like, it's going to be a really tough non-conference late in the years to come for Oregon. Getting to a point where you feel like you have the horses to go head-to-head with those kind of teams is a really good starting point. Now, does it mean he's going to overcome the coaching miscues that he's had and some of the bad play calling, and is he going to be able to replace offensive and defensive coordinators? Like, there's a lot that still needs to be figured out. But just going into a game saying, you know what, roster-wise, we think we stack up with these guys. That's an awesome thing. And the other big note in recruiting that I have been following, and I don't follow it as close as some, but their quarterback that's a part of this class, his name is Ty Thompson, who's everybody was really high on. But they just had, like, the Elite 11 thing that Trent Dilfer puts on, and he apparently graded out as the best quarterback at the Elite 11. So he's not the number one rated quarterback in the country, but he apparently raved. Everybody's raving about him out of the weekend. So that's a good sign. If Shuck doesn't work out or looks a little shaky and maybe you lose some games
or
because
Brown
of that this year,
work out.
Right, or the transfer dude doesn't work out, that you got a kid coming in next year that everybody's raving about.
So 24/7 Sports says there's an outside contender now for the number one recruiting class in 2021, and it's the Oregon Ducks. And it's a pretty interesting time for Oregon, man, because you mentioned the uncertainty of the season, but that has not slowed down or stopped their ability to get kids to commit to this program. We'll have a little more on their potential non-conference game with Ohio State coming up later in the show and where you should feel confident in that matchup happening this year in Eugene. But coming up next is the Daily Ticker. DeSean Jackson steps in it with a fake Hitler quote, kind of defends it, then apologizes, and now Steven Jackson, former NBA player, has hopped into this. It's a really weird story. Elliot Shore Parks of WIP and Radio.com joins us next for the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks is an Eagles reporter for WIP Sports Radio in Philly, also the podcast host for Go Birds Pod. He's also one of the radio.com NFL insiders as well on Twitter at Elliot Shore Parks, and he joins us now here on 1080 The Fan. Elliot, thanks so much for the time, and I know it's a busy situation for you right now with everything that's going on. Look, DeSean Jackson quotes a fake Hitler quote, then kind of defends it, then apologizes, then talks to the Eagles brass and learns about Hitler. And then Steven Jackson's jumped into this thing now. This whole thing is turning into a mess. What do we know about the way Philly is going to try to handle this with DeSean, or have they already moved on from this?
Yeah, so the Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie has a long history of kind of working with players that have found themselves in this situation. Now, obviously, it's hard to compare this situation apples to apples to any other because it isn't often a player quotes Hitler on Instagram. But, you know, if you look throughout Jeffrey Lurie's tenure, he was one of the owners that signed Michael Vick when other teams wouldn't. 7 years ago when Riley Cooper said a racial slur at a concert, he kept Riley Cooper on the team and worked with Riley Cooper. And now I think what you're going to see with DeSean, and at least early indications are, they are not going to cut DeSean. Both Jeffrey Lurie and GM Howie Roseman talked to DeSean yesterday. I think they want to use this opportunity, as harmful as it was to a lot of people. I think they want to try to use this opportunity to educate and to have DeSean have some good come out of this. So definitely been a crazy 2 days around the Eagles. I would say nothing is officially decided, but at this point, it seems like they will be keeping DeSean on the roster.
Well, and you mentioned Riley Cooper there. I'm curious how much you think their decision with DeSean has to do with the way they handled Riley Cooper, because a lot of people have tried to point that out in the last 24 hours. We remember what he said in the video that went viral, and then they, I think, fined him and then suspended him from a couple of offseason activities, and then the next year he got a five-year contract extension. How much of just that handling has to do with the way they handled DeSean Jackson in this case?
Well, I can tell you that a lot of people here in Philadelphia, after this kind of became a big story yesterday, have pointed to the fact that, look, if you cut DeSean because of this, there's certainly an argument to be made. It's a bit of a double standard with what happened with Riley Cooper. Now, you know, obviously both these situations, what both players said are offensive and terrible, and I'm not going to compare the two. But, you know, yeah, there's absolutely no question. When the Eagles kept Riley Cooper 7 years ago, They set somewhat of a precedent in how they're going to handle things. So I do think that probably factored, or at least, you know, when they had the discussion about what to do, I would imagine that came up.
Yeah. Elliot Shore Parks covers the Eagles for WIP Sports Radio in Philly. We're talking to DeSean Jackson and the fake Hitler quote he kind of defended, then apologized for. You know what strikes me, and Steven Jackson, I feel the same way about Steven Jackson based on comments and audio we've heard in the last hour and a half or so. It seems like both these individuals don't have any idea what Hitler did. Like, it seems like they've been told he's bad, but that they're not entirely grasping or understanding what Hitler did. Am I wrong in reading into that?
Well, I haven't had a chance to speak to Deshaun or Steven Jackson. I mean, you would like to think that both of them, or really, I mean, anybody over the age of, I don't know, 16 would know what Hitler did. I think, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's probably pretty basic stuff. Now, what I would say is, from being around the team this offseason, the Eagles, I mean, a lot of the players on the team have been really involved in the social justice issues that have kind of swept the nation. I know mm-hmm. that Deshaun's voice, especially so in the locker room, has been a big one. He kind of encouraged players like Carson Wentz to step up and use his platform. So looking at what Deshaun said over the last few days, and I think the Eagles put it best when they called it appalling, offensive, and horrible. But I think it did not come from a place of ignorance. I think it came from a place – or I'm sorry, it did not come from a place of hate. It might have come more from a place of ignorance. Mm. And I think that it was just a mistake on his part of trying to use his voice for what he believed was good, but just obviously going about it in a very, very bad way.
Well, how have the fans reacted to this? I know Deshaun's been around that organization a long time, being there and then leaving and now coming back. Just what has been the reaction? How do they feel about Deshaun in that city? How are Eagle fans feeling?
It's very mixed, I would say. I mean, as you know, we kind of talked about, there is definitely a portion of the fan base that feels that because the team kept Riley Cooper, they owe it to, you know, kind of hold Deshaun to those same standards in terms of, at best, maybe, you know, he has to be suspended for a few days or something like that. So there's certainly a portion of the fan base that, while everybody in the fan base agrees what Deshaun did was wrong, there's a portion of the fan base that feels because of the Riley Cooper thing, the Eagles are in a tough situation. And there is a portion of the fan base that believes Deshaun Jackson should be cut. I mean, let's not, you know, there's certainly a lot of angles to this and there's a lot of layers, but let's not get around it. What he said was really offensive. So there is definitely a good portion of the fan base that feels that he should be cut.
Yeah. Elliot, let me ask you this about one of his teammates, Carson Wentz. There was an article of ranking quarterbacks because it's that time of year again, camps around the corner. So we have to dive into it. And it was asking people around the league to rank QBs. Carson Wentz comes in at 8. His highest ranking was 2. His lowest ranking, somebody in the NFL is either playing a troll job or they legitimately believe this. His lowest ranking is 14th. There is somebody working within the NFL that believes there are 13 quarterbacks better than Carson Wentz. Your thoughts?
Well, I think if you're just looking at last year, you can certainly argue that he's somewhere closer to 14 than he is to 2. I don't even think that's debatable. Carson Wentz really struggled for a lot of last year. He was good towards the end of the year, and you know that's what franchise quarterbacks do. They put their team on the back when they need to. But I think that Carson, when you look at the greater scope of the NFL and maybe you know don't take age into consideration, I think he's somewhere around 9, 10, 11, around there. Carson's issue is, if you don't watch every snap he plays, you'll see some highlights and say, okay, he can make throws maybe only one or two other people can't. But when you watch Carson consistently, he has accuracy issues. He misses a lot of easy throws. And, you know, quarterback win record over his 4 years, I think, is only 4 games over 500. So he's had some highs and some lows. And I think overall he's averaged out to a pretty average quarterback. So, you know, 14, that's probably not where I would put him. But I do think he is much more along the lines of, you know, 9, 10, 11, even 12 than he's nowhere near number 2.
Yeah, you're in the Mahomes, Russell Wilson kind of categories at that point. I saw you came out with right. a piece, I think, this morning, and we've highlighted this, wondering how it's going to go with the league because it was a really bad look for baseball. But the financial fight between the owners and the players, and if there's not fans and revenues are down, how much less are you asking them to take? And there's a report that came out last night, I believe, that they're trying to put it into basically an account. We'll give it back to you later, kind of an escrow account. Where are you at on this? Like, how is this going to work for the players? How do you think the Eagles players are handling this? Like, where's that going to go for the NFL?
So I thought the interesting thing about the way the baseball negotiations played out is they were so public. And so that really, it seemed like, angered a lot of fans because, you know, millionaires versus billionaires, right? Well, the thing with the NFL is everything they do is public. The NFL is the most reported on sport in the country. So if it does become a back and forth battle, it is going to be public and it's going to be ugly. And I think people are going to be really upset if come, you know, last week of July, teams aren't reporting for training camp. So the NFL asking to put, I think it was 35% of the player's salary in an escrow account. I can see why the players would not want to do that. The NFL wanting to play 2 preseason games. I can see why the players wouldn't want to do that. So I do believe there'll be some back and forth, but look, covering the NFL for the last 10 years, one thing we know is, unfortunately, the NFL's Players Association is probably the weakest players association of all the major sports. They never win these negotiations. The NFL always gets the better end of the deal. So there might be some back and forth, but ultimately, I would be surprised if come the last week of July, we're not talking training camp football.
Is there ever a boring time to cover Philly sports?
Absolutely not. I mean, look, this is not a joking matter. Obviously, this is a very serious offensive issue, but there's never a boring day in Philadelphia when it comes to sports.
It's crazy, man. The DeSean Jackson fake Hitler quote that he kind of defended, then apologized for, and then mixed that in with little Carson Wentz NFL talk. Elliot Shore Parks, one of the best out there, covers the Eagles for WIP Sports Radio and our radio.com NFL insider. Elliot, we always appreciate the time out here out west in Portland. Thanks so much for hopping on, man, and a very busy day for you. And we'll have to catch up with you soon once the season gets closer.
Sounds good. Look forward to it, guys.
All right, there we go. Really good stuff from Elliot Shore Parks of Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia. The DeSean Jackson story. Good God.
Yeah, I don't even really know what to say, to be honest with you. It's ignorant. I don't know where Steven Jackson is coming from and trying to defend this.
Steven Jackson's going down the conspiracy theory hole.
Yeah, you're perpetuating really stupid, ignorant conspiracy theories that are incredibly racist in their own right. Yeah. So it's a really bad look for both of them to dig their heels in a little bit. For DeSean Jackson to share something and think it's okay that when you read the quote that he put up at the end of it, it says Hitler was right.
Yeah.
So let's try and connect the dots there and realize how offensive that is and why that's never okay to do. And then he then reposted it, cutting out other parts of it, but keeping one part of the quote, saying, no, this was the only part that I wanted to show, not the Hitler part. It's just like, what the hell? What are you doing right now, man? It's incredibly alarming, incredibly stupid. The tough part for Philly, though, and I think this is a reality that we have to talk about, is they're between a rock and a hard place with this. Because of the way they handled Riley Cooper. And you've seen a lot of people on that side that have come out and said, let me get this straight. Riley Cooper uses the N-word at a concert multiple times. You suspended him and fined him for a couple of days in the offseason. It's an incredibly offensive thing to do. It was not right in any way, shape, or form. But he ended up playing out the season, didn't miss any time in actual games, and got a 5-year extension the next year. So you kind of set yourself up with this precedent, and that's why I wanted to ask that question of, like, if they had handled Riley Cooper differently, are they handling DeSean Jackson differently? Mm-hmm. But for those that are saying that so far they've been handled differently, that couldn't be further from the truth either, because Steven Jackson said that. And Awful Announcing put out a piece today where they clipped the exact statement that they released when the Riley Cooper video was released, and then the exact statement they released when they found out about this DeSean Jackson stuff, and they were nearly 100% identical.
Yeah, because, like, it's the second chance nature of Jeffrey Lurie is what it sounds like. But also, I think what you see around the country right now are people who get caught on video doing very ugly, racist things. And guess what happens to them? They lose their middle-of-the-road job.
Yep.
They lose their livelihood. Them, yep. Whereas, like, these two individuals could easily get caught, and they'd probably get signed by somebody else or end up being okay financially for a long time. But as you mentioned, Cooper gets a 5-year extension, and now you're in a situation where it's weird because it's such a racist, ugly comment, but you know that if they were to cut DeSean, it'd be viewed as racist because they kept Riley Cooper.
Exactly.
God.
That highlights the problem.
Also, him and Steven Jackson, it's pretty clear to me they don't know anything about Hitler.
Yeah, just stop talking. Stop. Please stop.
The most I think they've said is, he's a bad guy. Well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. Oh, okay. Gotcha. I missed that part of the history book, I guess.
I think they did, too.
Bad
All right.
Guy, huh?
We got a lot more to get to coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it'd be all that difficult to just cut guys who share racist sentiment. But
by the way, one quick note, because we did actually have a listener text in asking earlier, and then we had one that just referenced, and I don't know if it was serious or not. It is not the Oregon State Steven Jackson. I don't know if some people are confused on that.
I said you might have missed it. So, yeah, sorry for that.
It's the NBA Steven Jackson.
Coincidentally, it's the guy who kind of rallied and started the Black Lives Matter movement in Minneapolis when his childhood friend George Floyd was murdered.
Yes. The guy who's been at the
forefront of fighting racism for black people is now
here we are
defending
what are we
fake
doing?
Hitler quotes.
Yeah.
It's
conspiracy
weird.
Theories.
Yeah, and he went down the conspiracy theory hole. I think there's no more evidence of just how severely we've defunded the American education system than I really truly believe this to my core than the last 4 to 5 months of our country. I mean, the stupidity The lack of believing people who study and spend years of their lives to know stuff that we could never grasp if we were asked to do it individually.
Not an epidemiologist?
No, I happen to not be one, so I'm not going to jump out there and tell you that the data is not bad or the data is good or whatever. A lot of people want to peddle that crap, and they're going to benefit from it financially. That's just why they do it. But no, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But I think this is another element of it where Steven Jackson's heart and I think his energy was absolutely in the right place and at the right time with George Floyd in Minneapolis and talking and leading.
Without a doubt.
But then to step in it like this on an issue that if you hear or read what he says about it, he clearly doesn't know what he's talking about. He's peddling conspiracy theory Jewish racial ideas.
They run the country, run banks.
Look into the banking system. Yeah. And he's one of those, like, it almost comes off as the guy who watches way too many Instagram or YouTube videos and is convinced that that's the truth because some guy had UFO X-Files music playing in the background.
Yeah, too many 2 a.m. YouTube rabbit holes right there.
Yes. Bob Rothschild ended up marrying Susan Williams, and Susan Williams was the dad of the King of Scotland.
Yeah, it's unfortunate and really scary. And we had a listener. Well, one person said, you know, not everybody understands the full context of history. He said, I grew up in a small town. We didn't learn about it as a kid. I had to learn about it at an older age. I totally understand that.
Well, that's a GD shame. I appreciate the honesty. That's a damn shame that you have to publicly say that, that your school didn't teach you about world wars and
right. Well, DeSean Jackson also went to Cal, which is one of the finest academic institutions in the country, and he's 33 years old. So if you don't know it, that's on you. And also, another one of our people once pointed out, even if you don't understand history to a certain level, taking the opposite side of Hitler is always the right side. You don't have to understand the full context of why did they invade Poland and how did Russia get tied, or the Soviet Union get tied in, like how did America become involved in World War II? Like, if you don't have to understand all the nuance of World War II, I'm not asking for that. I am asking for just, you know, hey, when his name gets brought up, let's usually say he was wrong, not he was right.
I just read a story, the Nazi Hunter book, before we did the TV show, and it was pretty eye-opening because there was stuff in there I'd never heard before, and you're like, whoa. There's a part in the book, and this is the alarming part. There are some people who have studied the Nazi regime that actually don't think that they killed six million people. Jewish people. They think the number, if you add Polish people, Jewish people, all of it, could be close to 11 million. Mm-hmm. And this individual almost acts as if he doesn't know that. And that's, I don't know. I'm not asking you to know everything in history. I sure as hell don't know history to the full extent of it. But that's pretty basic stuff, right? Like Hitler bad, a lot of people killed.
It's like one generation removed from our current.
Yeah, there are people alive that still remember that or know about it, like, because they lived during it. It's pretty crazy when you break it down that way.
Yeah.
Flipping from Hitler talk to a random coffee story.
Oh, okay.
If you would so indulge me.
I like that.
Okay, so I want you to pretend you're a father of a girl.
Okay, I'm a father of a daughter.
You got a daughter.
I'm a what do they call it? Dad? Girl dad? I'm a girl
dad. You're a girl dad.
Okay.
So I follow a guy I don't know on Instagram. He is the brother of a mutual friend. Okay, I know this guy a little bit, and then his brother started a company, and I supported it, so I followed him. So I saw a post last night. He posted on Instagram, and it's a picture of a bikini coffee shop. And in it says, out to support local. In his comment section, there's a guy that says, thanks so much for supporting my daughter. We really appreciate it. Thumbs up. And he just responded, do anything for the fam. This is a bikini coffee shop. This blew my mind.
How old is the daughter?
At least 18 years old.
Sure, no, I get that. But yeah, is it like, would you guess mid-20s, late-20s? Is it literally 18 years old?
There wasn't a picture of
fresh
her.
Fresh out of high school, or are we like 10 years removed here? There's a difference.
There wasn't a picture of her. It was only a picture of the coffee stand. But it's clearly like bikini espresso or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, those exist. Have you ever been to a bikini barista place?
I've been in the car with an individual that goes to them. I've personally never been to one. There's no judgment. I just feel...
you do you, boo.
If I went to go get a beverage from that place, I feel like I would just stare and I'd feel weird about that.
Yeah, I feel like the when I go get coffee, I just kind of want to go get my coffee. I don't need a side of, you know, up tops, if you will, while I'm getting my coffee early in the morning.
I don't know if I don't need you mixing my milk with a G-string.
No, I have outlets for that if that's what I need, right? Everybody has different avenues that they can go down, and seeing it while getting a coffee is not one of them. So they've never really been appealing to me, because then it's just kind of, you get in that awkward stage of like, do you look? Do you not look? Am I looking in the window? Am I just, are they going to think I'm a horn dog? Like, it just creates far more questions than it does actual answers. That's why I've never been. This is weird. This is weird a million different ways. It's not, it's just weird.
The dad thing is the thing that threw me off.
Yes.
Thanks for supporting the daughter that's probably wearing next to no clothing.
Yes. Serving him a coffee and then saying, yes, I'm supporting your family. Like, dude, no, I don't want any part of this, man. Absolutely not. You can't tell them as kids, I'm not a dad. So this is something you might have to deal with in a few years and not me, unfortunately. But you can't tell them where they can and cannot work, but being a bikini barista is one of those, like, can you go work at like Starbucks?
I have two girls, so I got to be careful here.
Sure.
I hope they don't work at one, but if they do, like, I'm not going to, that's for them to decide. It's not that they're working there that weirds me out about this story.
Daughter was working at a bikini barista place, yes, and I pulled up into the drive-thru.
And I saw your picture on Instagram,
I said,
thanks for supporting my daughter.
It would be a really weird moment in our relationship that I'm not sure we'd ever recover from.
No, the relationship's over.
I would not do that. If I found out that your daughter was working at a bikini barista place, I would avoid it like the plague, man. I would avoid it.
I appreciate that.
Right? I'm not going anywhere near that coffee
stand.
Yeah,
that's one where it's like, Sprague? I ran into your daughter at the strangest place today.
Sure. If that happens, bring it up.
I'm
pretty sure your daughter was working there. I'm like,
Did you know she was working there?
Yeah, there was a couple of girls from my high school that became strippers later in life. And
I knew a couple from my high school, too.
It was a pretty well-known thing of like, let's not go there.
Because it feels, it's
weird.
High school reunion. How's the career?
Right, like, hey, I don't want that moment.
We're looking for a performer for a reunion.
If you're making good money and you're enjoying it, like, more power to you, but I don't want to, like, have to sit there and get a lap dance and talk about, remember when we took social studies together when we were 14? Like, dude, that's not normal.
Let me tell you who Adolf Hitler is. Here's a dollar. Not good. Not good at all. The dad comment just threw me for a loop. I was dying laughing reading this. I couldn't believe this was a real thing. But it's the world we live in, isn't it? Pro athletes don't know Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Fathers of bikini baristas supporting their friends, visiting their daughters in next to nothing. I don't know where we're at in society, but that about sums it up.
Somebody said maybe the daughter owns a stand. Okay, I guess that could be. Maybe she does own the stand.
I might have to do some investigative research.
She's
yeah.
just not a barista. She's maybe the owner. And in that case, yeah.
That's cool.
That makes a little more sense. If she's owning the stand and you're trying to give money because she owns the stand.
I think the idea of her working, though, is what makes it more entertaining. All right, we got a lot to get to in the second hour. We got NFL quarterback rankings. We've got crunch time to get to. Where is your confidence in sports restarting? We're a week and a half away, right? About a week and a half away from sports coming back?
Yeah, baseball? Well, the MLS is supposed to start today.
Well, we got MLS.
Do they have a game? Is there one game happening?
Major League Baseball, MLB, okay. NBA. I want to know where you're at. Like, as a sports fan, just tell me right now at the text line, are you confident, like, in your mind, sports are back indefinitely, or are you a little nervous about if this is going to work or not? We'll kick off hour two with that. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan and radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.